Our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. And it says, "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here on this beautiful Sabbath day. Looks like we're going to have a mild weekend here. Going to warm up tomorrow and everything else. But we know that we can add sunshine in our hearts while we're here today. And the privilege that we have to come together each week, to come here to the sanctuary and to meet with each other and to meet with our Lord and our Savior. It's just a privilege that has been given to us, and we pray that we don't take it lightly. And I hope that we're here because of Jesus and what he has done for us and the assurance of eternal life, the assurance that he's coming back again. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we thank thee that we are in your presence. We thank thee that thou art our God and that we have a Savior that was willing to die on Calvary's cross, to take flesh on and to become like us. And he drew all of his strength from heaven. And we pray this Sabbath morning that we do the same, Father. Wisdom and knowledge, we thank thee that it comes from thee and not from man. For we know man's wisdom and knowledge is nothing compared to thee and is going the wrong pathway that each one of us wants to take. So this day, Father, we just pray and thank thee that we are yours for eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming, the surety that we have of the second coming, that God sent his Son here in the beginning. There's many people that don't even believe in the first coming of our Lord and Savior, let alone the second coming. But we are here today, I believe, because of the second coming, and that surety that we can have that it will happen and will happen soon. So when shall the coming of the Son of Man be? We've been studying that for centuries. And this is a topic I got from the Ministerial Association. And it's lessons for the second coming, and it's going to be soon. And if you would turn to Matthew to chapter 24, that's where we're going to be looking at mostly today, in verses 32 through 44, the fig tree. In Matthew 24 and 25, Christ has given parables to the disciples to prepare them for the second coming and the judgment. In 24 is largely Jesus answering the disciples' question when they questioned him about the destruction of Jerusalem in the end of the age. So as you can see in 24 verse 3 there. But we're going to look at chapter 24 there, 32 through 44. But let's look at verses 42 and 43 at the end there and see what Jesus says to us there. 42 and 43. "Which therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. In the parable, the fig tree is pretty simple. Here Jesus is talking about the change of the season, using the tree as an example. And as we know, in that part of the world, the fig tree produces fruit for 9 months out of the year. And then they are dormant just during a few months of the winter. But they are covered by blossoms, many blossoms, during the early springtime. And then they know that the summer is near. And much of Jesus' discourse there with his disciples were describing the things that would take place before he comes. And we've read them before. We've tried to decipher them. We take them into account. And sometimes we're still do not have it right. Most of the times we don't. You know, the illustrations and explanations are easy, but the application is not always so easy for some of us. So what is Jesus referring to when he talks about the changes that are coming? and just said there, when you look at these things, you will know that the time is near. What are these things that he's talking about? Have these things taken place? Even today, we have deceivers, we have wars, we have disasters, earthquakes, persecutions, deflections. We know that we don't even have to look very far for that, to see that. They just are there, you know. The last 2 years there, we see that, we know that we can be surety that Jesus is coming soon. But the gospel continues to be spread, and we are to be the ones to do that. These things took place in those days just after Jesus, and Jesus said that they would there in verse 34, if you look at that, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And many of these things have continued to take place since a generation that was alive after Jesus during his time. And as I said, we can look and see these things happening. I said here the last 2 years, but we only have to look at the last 2 or 3 weeks or the last few months to know that these things are happening even today. And what are they referring to, you know? But we are looking at these things, and we can see the surety of the Jesus coming to have it. And the lesson of the fig tree we see is to know that summer is near. We know here today yet, we're just not even winter is here yet. But look at the fig tree to know that summer is coming, so we can look forward to better weather, we hope, you know. But to know that the coming of the Lord is near, it should bring shockwaves to our hearts, to our lives, to know that it's going to happen. And it may happen in our lifetime. It may not. But to be ready for that, to know that today, that. And that's what the New Testament writers tell us. Philippians 4:5, the Lord is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7, end of all things is at hand. In James chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, if you would turn there. Please hold your finger there for Matthew, though. James 5, 8 and 9. 5, 8 and 9. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And we see that James used almost the same words as Jesus did there in verse 33. And so we know that he did that there, as we see verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And I wonder, are we prepared for that? We know that we need to learn this lesson, that we need to be ready now. Let's not worry about tomorrow. Be ready today to do that. The appearance of the new leaves on the fig tree indicates that spring is near. And so sincere Christians can tell when Christ's appearance is near at the door. So we just pray that we are all waiting for that time that would happen, and that we live accordingly, not just sit idly by waiting for it to come. But we talk many times about his second coming. And we may think it's a long ways off, but it is not. It's not a long ways off. We need to know when our Savior, our Redeemer, is soon and near. We know that we don't know the hour or the day, but it is coming. And that's what the parable of the fig tree is telling, that the coming of Christ is soon. And we also know that Jesus is our greatest teacher, as verse 35 and 36 tells us there. Look there, 35 and 36. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Even the incarnate Christ does not know the day of his coming. But verse 35 indicates a certainty in the words of Jesus. But 36 indicates an uncertainty in his words. And the uncertainty is there is the timing of these things. When will these things happen? We know that Sister White tells us that Jesus could have come before now. But there's two lessons to learn from these verses, one from each verse. From verse 35, we learn that these things are certain. We could admit that Jesus' words are difficult to follow many times. But we know that they haven't. Especially regarding the parable of the fig tree, to understand it truly. Jesus said that when you see these things happen, you know that his coming is near. You know that his return is soon. But he spoke these words 2,000 years ago to his disciples there. And there's many down through the ages that have been led to renounce their faith because of the long time in between. But we pray that each one of us do not. The longer it lingers on, we pray that we have the more surety of Jesus coming so that we can be prepared. 2 Peter chapter 3 anticipates this problem as he talked about the day of the Lord. But when you hear the word soon, what does it indicate to you? What does it mean? Some circumstances could be next week, could be next month. We know that it does not mean 2,000 years, at least to us. With certain, we know that God is different than we are. It said for to us, 70 years is a lifetime. So we soon can mean that this year, this month, this week, or even right now, it could happen. For God, eternity is eternity. Soon can be 10,000 years to God. But man looking at eternity sees that any delay, whatever it is at a long time. So many people are out there saying it's been a long time delay. And how can we say that Christ's coming is soon? We know that in our lifetime, that each lifetime, each generation has to have that assurity that Christ is coming soon. One day to the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, 2 Peter 5:8. But how long has the Lord delayed his coming? How much longer will he delay it? And what's the reason for his delay? He does have a purpose. And we can read that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We pray that we do, so that we will be our Lord. And yes, it is for repentance. This day is for repentance. And any delay shows the kindness of God that he has toward the unrepentant. He still wants the unrepentant to be there. God wants everyone to have eternal life. He's given the surety that it would go to everyone if they would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are still many out there that God is kind to, but they need to repent of their sins and bow to the Savior to have eternal life and to be with their Savior one day. In any date, there's many people been out there setting dates, and we know that they're all wrong. We realize that anyone that sets a date for his return, we can be assured that it will not happen. To do it. Talking about December 20 or 21st this year, the calendar time, what is going to happen then? Some people think it's going to be the end of the world. Some people think that Christ is going to come then. But we'll have to wait and see what does happen for that. And also we can learn from Noah as we look at verses 37 through 41. Jesus goes back to Genesis to illustrate his coming with Noah there, using Noah living with the corruption of men that has spread far and deep. We see that in 37 through 41. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the man, Son of Man be. For us in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in a field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. We see this there. From the fig tree, we learned that the coming is soon, as we have said. When Noah was building the rock, ark, life would want to, on as usual, as he says there in verse 38, you know, reverse. And what do you see wrong there in verse 38? Huh? What's wrong with that verse? Huh? Anything wrong with that verse? Eating, drinking, marry, giving in marriage? What's wrong there? Huh? Nothing, is there? As we look at it and see these words. Jesus is describing a typical day. Nothing of these things are particularly sinful. But the sins of the people were ignoring the words of Noah. And today, it is the same for us. We ignore the words of God. Only the eight people that went into the ark were saved from the flood. And the point of the story is that most people, other people, didn't understand that a flood was coming in there in verse 39. Are we lacking a preparation for the day of the Lord, fortified in the word of God? They heard Noah's message, but they didn't believe that the flood was coming. Matter of fact, they hadn't seen rain. They didn't even know what a flood was. But they wouldn't take it on faith. Seeing Noah building that ark for all those years. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But it doesn't say there, but it has there, that Noah's preaching was not a total failure besides the seven that went with him. During that 120 years, there were some that believed, but there was most of them did not believe. But of those few that did believe, they were laid to rest before the flood, but they died in the faith and triumph, and they will be in the kingdom. They will be in the kingdom. And then we know that all the others perished, as it will be in the end times here. Jesus' coming will be sudden. In Noah's day, life went on as usual. Today in our society, life goes on as usual. In Noah's day, the warning was sounded, but the people ignored it. Now, about today, is the same thing happening as we give the message? Is it being ignored? And we just know that when Jesus does return, his return is going to be sudden. What have we as God's children been prepared for that day, for his coming? We know that now there's not much time left. Probation is about to close. And there will be no more time to repent. And even before that last probation closes, it closes for God's people first. God closes for God's children. Are we ready? We know that all will be decided at that time. From the fig tree, we learn that it's going to be soon. From Jesus himself, we learned that his return is going to be certain. We know from Noah that it's going to be sudden. But the main point of all of this, as we look at these parables, be ready. For we know that Jesus said in verse 44, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." A small black cloud, and then a great white cloud will be seen in the sky. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we may know his coming is near, and it will be soon for our Savior to come the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to collect his people, to take them back to heaven with him, to spend eternity ever learning, ever studying, ever growing in the knowledge of the plan of redemption, to walk by the side of our Savior. Thank you, Father, that it may come to reality, and that we all will be able to do that at times, and to meet each Sabbath at the great white throne, to be able to hear the words come from the lips of our Savior. Oh, Lord, thank you once again that we may have the privilege of being there. In Jesus' precious name, amen.